yeah, you're never going to get married and have babies. And it's like, cool, that's great. I'm going to go in the other room and drink wine by myself.
I think I take this single life for granted.
I like being my whole unicorn self. Like, all of my friends are married and in relationships, and about 98% of them are completely miserable.
Oh, I know. It's so good sometimes, too. After this past weekend, I am burnt out of NFL Combine talk. If I hear the words measurables, ceilings, or red flags, I'm going to jump off of the Golden Gate. But with that being said, more of that shortly. I am Alex Kaloje. I work for FanRag Sports. It's a pretty cool place. And this is episode 3 of Moonshots already. We're going to get into all sorts of trouble and stuffs today. I am joined by my colleague and co-host Jess Kleinschmidt. And Jay Bird, you're growing so fast, you know, you're flying, you're soaring, you're all by yourself. You just got a feature published in a book talking about all your daily fantasy antics. Congrats. How is that? Mm-hmm. Talk about that. I think it's a good way to open up.
It's great. I was approached a couple months ago by Benny Ricciardi, and he works for Fantasy Sports Network, where I've done a lot of work for them. And he said, hey, do you want to be one of our featured fantasy baseball writers for this book that I'm going to publish on Amazon? Without even hesitating, I said yes. At that point, I didn't care if it was getting paid. I was like, I'll do it. So we each got assigned a chapter, and I got assigned the ballpark factors chapter. And it was something that I really fell in love with, really getting into the DFS perspective this time around, which is important as far as not only your fantasy team, but kind of interesting to look at the architecture of different ball fields and stuff like that. So I got to get super nerdy with it, and without getting judged, right? Like, it was kind of cool because I was in a book with all these other geeks that were obsessed with fantasy baseball. So to be in the same league as some of the biggest names was just an honor. And I think I might be the first female to ever be published in a fantasy baseball book on Amazon.
That's great. So take me through this, Jess, because this is a question I want to know too. How did the process go for you getting that published and you writing your own segment? Was it something that kind of took a few days to get going, or was it something that you just sat down and cranked out, you know, over like a 12-hour span, just hopped up on caffeine, pot of coffee, maybe some tobacco or something, or did you just kind of take little intervals? And how long did that take you to do?
A little bit of both. I'm really glad FanRag doesn't drug test us. I'm going to say that. So it was definitely, but no, it was interesting because I had like my own cheat sheet, the ballpark factors that I've used over the last year and a half that I've kind of, everybody has their own kind of deal with in the fantasy world, like how they feel their ballpark factors stand. So mine was broken down by hitters, neutral, and then pitcher's park. So I already had that pretty much done. So I literally typed that out and walked away for honestly a few days, and then I just sat down and kind of cranked it out the night, like two nights before it was due. So that's just kind of how I did it, and it's just easier that way. And it was 3,000 words, but I mean, there's 30 ballparks, so it was really easy to write. It was just time consuming, and so some of my research was kind of already done, but the measurements I had to look up, and that took a while. And the beauty of it is, since it is like evergreen content, I had to be careful with using like players, because I want like my daughter or my son to read this, you know. Mm-hmm. And obviously ballpark factors are going to change because new ballparks will be built, but I try to keep that in the back of my mind. But for the most part, I tried to crank it out in like two nights, like 6 hours each night kind of deal, and I got it done.
That's pretty cool. Well, congratulations. I am extremely excited for you. I think that's a huge accomplishment, big resume booster, kind of the icing on the cake, you know. I mean, you got it pretty much all made, you know. Am I wrong?
It was definitely something that was unreal. And just to, my mommy is so proud, and my best friend actually ordered the, I gave her the link before I gave anybody else, and she like opened up her Amazon package when she got it, like over FaceTime with me. So that was kind of cool, and wants me to sign it. It's pretty wild to have your name like on Amazon like that, without me spending the money, of course, because I'm awful with Amazon. I take all my money Amazon, but it was nice to be able to get paid now. So that's good.
Well, I wouldn't get too high on yourself right now, because I have your scouting report right in front of me. We're wrapping up with the NFL Combine, a.k.a. just made-up drills and, frankly, kind of useless showcase with football players just running in straight lines and doing odd things to, quote-unquote, enhance their draft stock. Maybe a conspiracy, maybe not. Probably a conspiracy. Yeah, absolutely a conspiracy. So, Jess...
I honestly think it's weird that y'all get into that. It's just weird to me. Like, you can save so much money going to your local gym and watching the other guys do the exact same stuff.
Yeah, my take on that is
like,
that...
Like, who invented those exercises? Like, all right, we're going to jump.
Yeah.
And you got to jump and touch things. Like, what?
That's what I'm saying.
Like, I don't even understand.
I've been preaching
this. It's the weirdest thing.
I've been preaching this for years. It's just, I don't know what you can see on a showcase that guys running in straight lines or doing a broad jump. Like, what is there that you can see that you can't see
right.
on game tape? I mean, you're running in no pads. You're not going up against anybody. People, like, wide receivers are running, like, five-yard routes. Like, I don't know what that, I don't know if that tells you anything. But,
yeah.
just... I guess being in the thick of things here at the Combine, you and I made scouting reports for each other based on being sports writers. So do you want me to read yours or do you want to read mine first, Jaybird?
I want you to go first because I'm more curious than anything right now.
Okay, I'm gonna start with your measurables, go to your pros, go to your cons, and then I'm gonna finish it off with where I think you're gonna be drafted, and then you can let me know how I did, okay?
All right,
we got Jess Kleinschmidt, 5'1" out of Nevada. The pros, you know, you're a 3-star writer coming into the industry, but you have untapped potential, great character to have in the office, a real coachable writer, always willing to learn. She's one of the first people to the laptop and the last one to go into rest mode. The cons, you didn't type too well at the combine. I had one media exec tell me that he was projecting you to type 71.8 words per minute, and it says here you only registered 68.3, so I think that's going to hurt your stock.
But also, don't they measure it to the nearest 69?
No, it's not that nice.
Oh.
But here's where the red flags are coming in. There are some out-of-the-office concerns. This past weekend, a Snapchat of you drinking wine with the caption "So I may be drunk right now" surfaced, and a lot of clubs are taking you completely off the board. So, when it's all said and done,
I'm like trying to think, like, did I actually do that?
No, you did. You did. I'm not gonna say that I saved it to my memories, but it was one thing where I think you got to be more careful with your social media antics. So when it's all said and done, I think you're a mid to late second round pick. But if you crank out a couple good articles, you could move into the late first round. You could move into the 29 through 32. But I have you going number 67 overall to the FanRag Sports.
Okay, I've always wanted to do that. So I'm a second mid to late round pick.
Yeah, you're a mid second to late second round projection. You could go anywhere from late first to early third.
Okay.
That's where I have you. I think that's respectable.
It is. It is respectable. I feel bad because I gave you a lot of pros, and I wish I gave you way more cons after that scenario. So I didn't do any – I just did a pros and cons list because when it comes to the draft, I'm not really super draft savvy. The only thing I paid attention to the draft was the fact that David Price went to the combine to go talk to Dr. James Andrews. Like, that's how much I paid attention to it. I just don't get into it. But –
love it.
I think you'll be very happy with my pros and cons list.
I'm excited.
Okay. So, Alex, pros. Great size and frame for someone who eats the dirt nachos from Buffalo Wild Wings.
True.
He's good at finding out really quickly if a girl on Tinder is block, swipe right, or swipe left early on. Looks presentable in rabbit filter on Snapchat.
I do. It's my favorite.
You really do. It's quite cute. Surprisingly able to pull off donut and pizza sweatshirt.
I'm wearing the pizza hoodie right now.
Perfect. The final pro is I'm never offended when you call me mom.
I do call you mom a lot. I do.
I really do. Are you ready for my content?
I guess, yeah.
The cons is the fact that you call me mom.
Okay. Whatever, mom. It's a term of endearment.
So I didn't do any sort of projections about where you're going to get drafted because, quite honestly, don't really know how to go about it. But your pros and cons list is pretty good, I think.
That's pretty good. Just going back to that, I told my mom yesterday, I was FaceTiming her, I was like, I actually call more girls mom than you mom. So, I mean, it's just, like I said, term of endearment. I don't think it'll hurt my draft stock, but at the same time, I think it's one thing that execs will look at and they'll say, you know what, I think we can get past. I think it's something that we could work past. I think his office character and morale boosting skills is something that can really, really be used and utilized in the office. So, you know, I would project myself anywhere from a third to fourth round pick. I think I'm right in the middle of the pack. Not a guy that's going to go day one. I don't have, I'm not that high up on the draft boards for a lot of outlets. But I think I could be a diamond in the rough guy. I'm like one of those mid-major prospects that had a really, really good career, but people kind of they kind of doubt if I could play at the top level. I could be a guy that could translate over well to the next level for sure. You know, third round guy.
You have way less off the field issues than I do.
Yeah, you're snap. You got to stop doing that. Did you watch the draft last year? Some guy got he lost out on a million because he was smoking the ganj. So
drinking wine and Snapchatting my good friend compared to smoking weed. I don't know.
Yeah, you get docked. That's what happens at the draft. You do something bad. You do something bad. You smoke a cig. You rip a heater outside the bar or something. You're going down 10 picks. That's just what happens in the draft.
Rip a heater? Is that what the kids say?
Yeah, you rip heaters. You chain smoke heaters. That's what happens.
I've never heard that before.
Well, you're also what you were born in what 81.
Alex.
That's
88.
All right.
88.
That's enough of that. But anyway, are you happy with your projection? I have you number 67 overall. That's a pretty damn good spot to be.
It is. I'm pretty impressed with that, and I appreciate your time.
Of course.
For doing that.
Yeah, no worries.
I really do.
No worries. You're a good friend. I hope that my intricacy of my scouting report for you spoke volumes to what I think of you as a friend. And like I said, I appreciate you allowing me to call you mom. So thank you.
I do.
Yeah. So let's go into segment number two, food, my favorite. I went to Cheesecake Factory last night, dropped a cool 40.
Oh.
Wasn't even full. The guy and the waiter, stupid question. You want me to bring out bread? Bring out bread? I want you to get a conveyor belt and just shove it in my mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah, stupid question.
That's what I say when I want water. Like, what do you want to drink? Bread.
Yeah. Give me all the bread.
Yes.
Like, don't be so stupid or asinine as to ask me.
Yeah, I am an adult. Don't insult me.
I'm not an adult. I am an adult, but I'm not an adult. My mom tries to play that. You're an adult now. I'm not. I'm mature, but don't get me wrong. I'm not an adult by any means. Don't put me into that tier.
True.
So food, we talked first episode about overrated foods. You said bacon. I said Thanksgiving food. Last week we got into appetizers, the ins and outs, what we order, what we don't like, what we do like. And this week we're going to go over candy bars. Jess, top three, bottom three candy bars. I'll let you go first. What's on your radar? I think candy bars is a good topic. It really could tell a lot about the type of person you are, if you're a cool person, if you suck. So go ahead with yours. I really want to hear this. I'm not going to hold back from criticizing you. But here's the thing. These are your taste buds. I'm not going to be rude about it. If it's something that you like and that I don't like, I'm not going to judge you for that because those are your taste buds. You can't control that. But I'm not going to be shy from telling you if I hate it. So go ahead.
Okay, so we're doing candy bars. That means like straight up like the chocolate kind of candy bars, right?
There are a few exceptions. For example, I think you could say like Reese's Peanut Butter Cups is a candy bar because it comes in block shape. But, you know, we'll see. Right. We'll see what the judges say.
Because when it comes to like chocolate, like I like chocolate, but like I'm more of like the Airhead chewy
Sour Patch Kids, fruity for sure, absolutely,
totally. So I went strictly chocolate. So did we do my bottom three or my top three? I think I should do my top three. First.
Yeah, let's go top three first, starting from number three, of course.
Yes, so number three is going to be Twix.
Love it.
And the reason why I like those is because it's a little bit of everything. Like, who doesn't love caramel and chocolate?
Yeah.
Like, everybody does,
it's caramel.
Right?
Yeah, it's caramel,
but
for sure.
But then it's caramel,
It's not, though. That's the thing. You call it again, I'll slap you, Mom.
Well, I used to live in a place near Carmel, and it was pronounced Carmel.
Yeah, Carmel, California. I've been there, Northern California. It's really cold. It's deceptively cold up there.
Where John Madden lives. He has one of his houses there.
Didn't know that.
So I like Twix. So I like Twix because even if it's melted a little bit, it kind of still stays because it has that cookie underneath. Mm-hmm. So it kind of still stays. And I feel like it's the one candy bar that tastes better in the regular size as opposed to like the bite size.
Yes.
You know, certain candy, like Snickers they only taste good in bite size, I feel.
Wow.
And like if they're the bigger size, I mean, I guess it depends on your mood, but there's certain ones that like, they taste different, right?
For sure.
Twix will, I think they're better. Kit Kat is my number two.
Okay.
And the only reason why I like that, and you can't be like a terrorist and eat them like John Carlos Stanton did that one time where he just took a big bite. Like, that was not okay.
You know what that is, Jess?
Okay.
I don't want to interrupt, but that's almost like taking a straight out bite out of a string cheese. If you don't actually pull your cheese into strings, then you're an atheist, you know?
You should get on the no-fly list. Absolutely. Like, that's not okay. So you take your sweet ass time and you relax and you have you a Kit Kat. It's break me off a piece of that Kit Kat bar, not ruin my life and eat a Kit Kat bar. That's the thing.
Agreed.
Okay, so this is my number three, and I recently went wine tasting, which is an excuse for me to just get drunk, you know, and off the field issues. There we go. Just always, you know, looming. And we had chocolate that we could eat with it, and it was kind of like part of the tasting. And they served us Lindt chocolate, and they gave us each type, like a dark chocolate, a milk chocolate, and like a spicy chocolate and a white chocolate. And I've never had dark chocolate that was so phenomenal in my life. And so now I'm addicted to anything Lindt chocolate. Any sort of Lindt chocolate is amazing. And so those are my top three. So I went to the store, and I continue to eat Lindt chocolate. I even put it on my s'mores. So I make s'mores at home.
Mm-hmm.
I'll, like, cheat on Hershey's chocolate for Lindt chocolate.
So let me get this straight. So Lindt chocolate is your number one?
That's my number one.
Okay, perfect. I thought you went in reverse order. I was gonna ream you for that. I like it. I think that's a great list. Yeah. I think Twix is – you said it best when you said that there are some candy bars that taste better in regular form than they do in fun-sized, and I'll actually get into that in a little bit. But I think it's a good list. Maybe not to everybody else, but I agree with it. I really do. I think.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, no worries.
I was worried.
No problem.
I don't like when we fight.
I don't either. I think that sometimes it's nice to have contrasting opinions because it gives our conversations a little flair. But I'm not going to just disagree with you just because.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So for me, number three, Hershey's Cookies and Cream. And I only have maybe one of these every year, but when I do, it's just so delectable. And the white
wrap.
That's
all you can have. It's super rich. You can't really go crazy with those.
No, that's something that you have maybe one every. What's the little squiggly line that's on the keyboard on the next to the one? Is it like a Matilda or something? What's it called?
Oh, like the testament line?
Yeah. It's something like a Matilda or something. I don't know. You got to have one of those every Matilda 4 months, and you can't have any more than that. The white wrapper, unbelievable marketing scheme. It looks so good. Always want to eat that too. Numero dos, Snickers. I'm usually not usually one to conform to society like this, but I've never had a bad Snickers. I just really haven't.
True.
And it's just it's a basic candy bar, but yet it has everything that. I'm looking for. It's got a good mix, and I actually prefer the Snickers in the fun size form. You pop a couple of those in your mouth, and you just go to work. So, some people say that there are also like as many as 100 rat hairs in one Snicker bars. I don't know if that's like a Mandela effect, but it's something that I heard when I was like 8 years old. But if it is, you know, give me all the rat hairs. I don't care. And my number one is a Fifth Avenue, and.
Okay.
Have you heard / experienced?
They're like the take ones or the take that or whatever. Take five. They're kind of like the take five where they have like a bunch going on.
Not really. It's like a weird. I'm not gonna call it like a brittle, but it's very light peanut butter. It's so weird. It's very hard to describe, but it's very very good. It's a diamond in the rough candy bar that not a lot of people have had. But it is so good. And I used to get it at this mini mart next to my house. I used to pop over there when I was like 7 or 8, steal some change out of my mom's purse and go pop off a couple of Fifth Avenues. But yeah, Five Avy is a good one. If you've never tried it, I highly recommend it if you could find it. Maybe if you do some Google searching, you can find some or go to Costco and pick up like a hundo of those bad boys. But
hello? Oh.
Wow.
I think I lost you for a second. Sorry.
Wow. Okay. That's awkward. Hello? Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah. I was looking all over them, like, making sure that the podcast didn't stop, but...
I don't know what happened. I'm sorry.
No, hey, I'm glad you at least looked out.
I hope it was, like, the perfect timing where, like, it seemed like I was offended by something that you said.
No, you're good. We actually just wrapped up our top three, so why don't you get into your bottom three?
Okay, so here we go. My bottom three, and we're going to go, like, the one that doesn't bug me to the one that bugs me.
So we'll go from, like 1,010 and then 1,011 and 1,012.
Okay. So, unfortunately, I have Hershey's Cookies and Cream as one of my bottom three.
Wrong take. But keep going.
And the reason why is I could literally have one bite of it.
And your stomach hurts.
I can't. And I'm done. Yeah. And that's kind of... You know, it's super rich, and that's my little brother's favorite candy, so I always get excited because I always pick one up and, like, bring it to him. But he can handle it. But it's so rich, and there's a lot going on for me. I'm not a huge, like, cookies and cream kind of girl anyway, so it's just kind of putting that in a bar. They have a new Oreos one out. Did you see that?
I did not.
Yeah, it's basically you would love it because it's kind of cookies and creamy.
Cool.
Okay, another one that I hate is anything that a kid in elementary school is selling from that stupid box.
Oh, are you talking like, you better not be talking about like the chocolate with the caramel, just the caramel inside.
Well, that one is good, but like they have all the different types of them, you know, like if you want like the nougat ones are good, but I mean like they just have like the block of chocolate and it's like they forget about it. So it's been in the back of their mom's car for like 3 months. And then last minute, they have to remember they have to sell 4 candy bars or they're going to go to detention.
Yeah. I don't support fundraisers. Yeah.
And it's a fundraiser. Chocolate is awful. And then my number one that absolutely bothers me, like, beyond belief, are those last three pieces of candy that you have in a box of chocolates. So, like, it's, like, the ones that you're, like, ooh, you don't really know what's in them. You don't want to be the person to, like, take a bite out of them and put it back, but you know it's bad news.
Yeah, I don't mess with boxes it's like of chocolate.
I love them. I love them. But I only eat the caramel and then, like, a couple of others, like the nougat ones. And then, you know, like on Valentine's Day, you get, like, the really small ones that, like, have 5 pieces of chocolate. So you get a caramel, a nougat, a dark chocolate caramel, and, like, 2 mystery ones that, like, you're like, I don't think I want to die today, so I'm not even going to try.
There are some that you bite into, and there's, like, strawberry filling, and it's just like, or cherry filling. That's get out of here.
What is wrong with you?
That's for poor people.
Yes. There's chocolate-covered strawberries. That's fine. But don't fill a beautiful piece of chocolate with lies and cherry filling.
Yeah, lies. Mostly lies, though.
Mostly lies. Mostly lies.
I don't mind that list at all. You actually don't have any of your bottom three on my bottom three. So
right.
I think we can get some other stuff in here. So I'm going to give you mine and then let you get your opinion on mine, okay?
Okay.
Okay, so my, I guess the one that doesn't bother me the most out of my bottom three is Milky Way Midnight. And...
Oh, okay.
You know, the trash candy with the silver wrapper with, like, purple and black. See... In my opinion, Milky Way is already a very bland candy bar. I don't think there's enough pizzazz in there. The nougat and caramel, like, it's very bland. And then Milky Way Midnight, they were like, hey, why don't we just ruin it some more and we'll make the chocolate dark? So.
Oh, yes.
So it's a total trash candy. And anybody who would have the audacity to pass those out for Halloween should have their trick-or-treating license revoked. You're gone. You get your card, you snip it up. You're done. Number two, right in the middle, Baby Ruth / Payday. And yeah, obviously you know where I'm coming from when I list both of those. The nut to other ingredient ratio in a candy bar is just way too much for me. And if I wanted to snack on some nuts, just pay a visit to Mr. Planner's, get my fix. Otherwise, peanuts and candy, if that's the main thing, stay the hell away from me. And
I agree. No, that's true. It's like literally a little bit of, is it caramel that it is?
Yeah,
caramel
it's
8 million peanuts.
The ratio.
Oh, yeah.
It's just way too much peanuts.
Did you see my tweet the other day about that ginormous burger where it was
looked good, but you could not eat it.
Seven, Right. That's the ratio. Like what is wrong with people? Like, why is that a thing? Like, you literally, that is only going on your Instagram and it's not going in your belly. Like, ratio is super important in any aspect of life, but mostly important in food.
Yeah. Like I said, if I'm going to go, I don't want it to, like, it's somewhat of a healthy option for food. I don't want that in my candy. I'm not looking to eat healthy. I'm not looking to get my trans fats in. I'm looking to get my candy on. I'm trying to get that type two. My bottom candy bar of all time is Almond Joy. Yikes. Coconut?
Yeah.
Coconut? With chocolate?
Yeah. That's my mommy's favorite.
It's one of the seven deadly sins.
Gluttony, coconut, and true.
It's not a good compliment. And I'm also, yeah. I'm not a big, it's just that bitterness that coconut has, as well as, like, I don't know if you are, but mint doesn't do well with me, like mint ice cream or Andy's mints. Like, they're okay,
the texture is weird for me, too. I'm big on texture.
It's a very weird compliment to chocolate.
Yeah.
But Almond Joy, back in 250 BC, the Assyrians, they would, I don't know if you knew this, but they would feed their peasants Almond Joy after strenuous days of work. I read that in my history book back in fifth grade, that when these people, the Assyrians, when they were done, the peasants in the lower tier of the hierarchy, whenever they would be done hoeing the fields and all that stuff, the bosses would just toss fun-sized Almond Joys at them for dinner. Like, here, you could eat these. So, I don't know if you knew that.
I mean, the moment I hear somebody hoeing the field, I'm not interested. I see enough of those when I go to the baseball field. I see plenty of those.
Yeah, but this was back in 250 BC, the peasant life. So.
Oh, they're still pretty much peasants at this point.
Peasant's a good word. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Yes, I love, and plebeian. I love that
plebes
word.
Yeah, I call people plebes all the time. Probably shouldn't do that. Or call people sir. Like, yeah, you're a serf. You're a lower class person. It's not nice. Not nice at all. But I think that was good. I respect your list, if that makes any sense. Respect your combine report. Respect your
me
list.
Me too. We're on a good roll. I was nervous. I was like, he's going to, even though you had a good list and I had, you know, the same candy bar on my bad list, we managed to work it out.
Yeah, but we still have a lot of room left to mar this friendship. So with that being said, on to segment number three. So last week I was watching The Office and realized how much I love Mindy Kaling's character, Kelly Kapoor.
Oh my gosh.
She's great. And I just, it reminded me how bad I needed that personality in my life. Just that bubbly personality. So it begged the question of which fictional personality would you marry? So Jess, movie, series, TV show, who's your ideal husband or wife? I'm not exactly sure if you shop on both sides of the aisle, but which personality or character would you see yourself with as the ideal fit?
Okay, so this may shock you because, you know how my personality is. I'm very out there, very, like, outspoken, what have you. But I was really obsessed with that, with the show One Tree Hill. Mm-hmm. And there's a character named Julian. And he ends up marrying my favorite character, Brooke Davis, who's played by the gorgeous Sophia Bush. And so I love Julian from the beginning because he was so sensitive and, like, didn't have a lot of guy friends. He was actually kind of like a guy's girl. And, a girl's guy. I don't know, whatever you want to call it. Because I'm like a guy's girl. So I think I kind of was attracted to the fact that he was sensitive and more, like, feminine in a way. So I, you know, everything from his sensitivity, his job, he was a director, which was kind of cool. So he was creative. And I really liked that. The way he proposed to her was so romantic. And the way that their wedding was, you know, like that, you know, that song Marry Me by Train, it's like everybody used that in their wedding album back five or six years ago.
I was going to say 2011 was a big year for that.
Right. So it was a stupid song, but they used it like during their wedding episode. And I thought it was gorgeous. And he's just so perfect and just loves her to Reese's Pieces. And it just really made me love the idea of him. So I really liked that character. So I felt I would marry him in a heartbeat, which is, you know, weird, right? Like, with my personality, people are expecting me to like the off-the-wall guys who are, like, crazy. That's too much for me. I'm enough crazy and off-the-wall. I want a guy who's, like, kind of shy, sensitive kind of deal, you know. So that's the guy that I kind of emulated to.
Yeah, you need an offsetter. I don't think anybody who's haywire is a good compliment to you. You need somebody to mellow you the hell out.
Right.
In a good way.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's why I really liked him. He was, you know, really down to earth and calm, which is what she needed, and that's the type of guy that I'm attracted to.
See, I'm kind of an idiot, and I'm kind of spunky and outgoing and eccentric, but I think I need somebody who's the exact same way, because I think, and for maybe for good reasons, obviously we have contrasting views on this, but I think I just need somebody like that who understands me, because I don't think anybody who's shy or is maybe a little reserved would understand me, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I think somebody who's a little immature and like Kelly Kapoor, I think her and I would be a fantastic match. So I kind of gave mine away with Mindy Kaling.
Right.
Because, you know, spunk, my love for Egyptians is out of this world. But even though I've never really been high on Mila Kunis, I think she's great, but there are others that I think trump her. I love her character in Forgetting Sarah Marshall, because she doesn't really give a damn, and she's kind of condescending and sarcastic, which I absolutely ride.
Yeah, you need that. You
And there's a button deep down in her character that I feel like you push, she goes absolutely berserk, and I think I still have a thing for girls who are borderline crazy. Maybe not on the surface. But
all men do, though.
Everybody
all
needs a little bit of crazy.
All women are crazy. They really are.
I know.
The moment a woman admits that, she'll be totally confident with herself. I'm very chill. I'm very laid back, but I have a little crazy in me too. I'm not even tripping.
Yeah, if you don't think that every girl is even just a little bit of psycho, you're nuts. You're a psycho.
You're gonna end up alone.
Yeah. So frankly, Mila Kunis is a smoky mon. I'd use my master ball on her.
Ooh, smoky mon.
Yeah, she's a smoky mon city. Love her character. So if I can't have Mindy Kaling, a.k.a. Kelly Kapoor, or Mila Kunis in Forgetting Sarah Marshall, then I will happily die alone. I like your choice. I've never seen One Tree Hill, because once again, I wasn't born in 84. That wasn't really big around my generation.
For the record, I watched it after it was over, on Hulu.
Yeah, okay.
I didn't leave my house, and I watched it, and it was a cute show. You would actually like it. I
probably
promise.
Wouldn't. I doubt it. Jess, baseball, right around the corner. And just another reminder that I'm not in the league, and I can't have a walk-up song for when I stroll to the dish. Very sad. So we talked about this. We talk about this all the time, actually. This is a huge part of my life, but it's something that I wanted to ask you. If you're playing in the majors, what would your walk-up song be?
That's actually a great question. I've probably been asked that over 100 times in my career, honestly.
Oh.
And when I did play in softball, they always picked it for me because I'm so ADD with music. I can't just pick one song that I like. Because it literally changes. Like, for 1 month, I'll have a song that pumps me up. And so what I decided to do was do a song that's been pumping me up over, like, consistently over the last several years. And that is Nelly, Heart of a Champion.
Wow.
And that, yeah.
Wow.
Nelly was before your day.
Ain't no way they can stop me now, because it goes all my way.
You're doing a great job. So the two of my, because he's really great with metaphors and similes, which I love. And I loved two of my favorites. I'm a huge Baltimore Ravens fan. So he'll say, I'm the one that you've been raving about, like Ray Lewis.
Ooh.
And then More Heart Than Hallmark on Valentine's Day. Like, that's sexy.
Damn.
That's hot.
If you went Heart of a Champion, I think the chorus obviously would be a great drop. But it's the obvious answer for your segment, but when he says get bucks like Michael Redd, oh my gosh, good pun. I don't know.
He's so good. He's just amazing. If you listen to, like, and I know he's like older, like everybody was obsessed with like EI and like Number One and all that stuff, but if you really listen, he's got amazing puns, like you mentioned, metaphor, similes. Like, he's so amazing. And I'm like a word freak too. I love words, so that kind of helped me. But when you're listening to it, like, he's working out in the beginning and it's like pumping him up and like just like it just gets you going, and I always listen to that at least once during my gym sessions, and it always puts me in an amazing mood. So
cool.
That's probably my walk up, because I get pumped, I get up there and doing it, and that just always does it for me.
Cool. I like it. For me, I'm gonna go I hate to say it, I'm going to go EDM. Not necessarily anything egregious or anything that would have people thinking, wow, he must do like a poop ton of ecstasy. But something light with a nice drop would really get the crowd right. Or I also have something that I think would take it way back, something like Magic Stick by 50 Cent. People want the Mems life. They want to soak up the nostalgia. It's something, you know, songs.
Well, really want to bring the crowd into it.
For the crowd. Yeah, 100%. I just think that if I'm going EDM, that's more so me. Jason Kipnis has a good EDM walk-up song. He has Thief by OK, which is a good one. If I heard that, if I was at a park, I was like, oh my gosh, Jason Kipnis, wow, I kind of love that about you, kid. But, so I'm going to go EDM, something light, something with a good drop. No country. Can't do country with a walk-up. I mean, I know you're a country person. You like it. You would go country for a walk-up?
I would, and it's actually rather popular in minors, I've noticed. Like, Chris Owings had country. A bunch of the guys from the Aces always had country. But you know what else is another one that could be good is like reggaeton. When the Venezuelan players go up, that always comes.
Oh, you know what?
That's fun to work out to.
Okay. I could do it. If I had one, if I would only have one country song as my walk up, and that would be Dirt by Florida Georgia Line. That's about it.
That's a good one. That is a good one.
That's all I would do.
That is a good one.
Walk ups are important to me. I will say that.
Yeah.
When I would walk to class in college, I would just play all of my potential walk-up songs and just play the 20-second clips on the way there, and I would get so fired up. And last weekend, I did the same thing in the office. It was maybe 5 o'clock, and I had been working for X amount of hours, and I just put the volume on a million, plugged in my headphones, and just played all the walk-ups, and I got so hyped up that I ended up going out that night. Like, I psyched myself out. But I think if I was in the majors – that's the one thing that I would want, that I would look forward to. Like, if somebody said, if I got drafted in 2021 and somebody said, what does this mean to you? I would just say, just kind of excited to have a walk-up, TBH.
Right. Me too. It's like when your name gets announced. My name got announced and I made like 11, 12 All-Stars in Little League, and I thought I was like the coolest thing ever.
It's the small things. It really is.
I am a small thing.
You are. You're 5'1". It says so on your scouting report.
It does. And you even exaggerated it because I'm not even 5'1".
I know. You got to be, what, 5'4"?
It's cute. I'm 5 and, like, half of an inch.
Wait, 5 foot half?
Yes.
Oh, my God, you're so small.
I'm a little thing.
Oh, my gosh. If we ever, like, hang out, can I just give you, like, a piggyback or just, like, piggyback ride you, like, nonstop?
Yeah, I could sit in your pizza pocket pouch from your sweatshirt, and I could be a little kangaroo.
Oh my gosh, I need you so bad.
Yeah.
Why are we dating?
It would literally look like a newborn. I would look like a newborn in your arm.
I got a good pouch that you could sit in. It's called my lap.
Yes. God.
So speaking of
lap.
Speaking of
what
girl.
Kind of a segue?
Speaking of girls that will never sit on my lap, why I'm single segment, as we do every weekend, past experiences that make us say, hey, I'm never going to get wifed up, and that's okay. Jess, why are you single? What do you got for me?
Okay, so this week, I got to wear sweats 7 out of the 7 days since I last talked to you. So I even had a FaceTime date. That's how I date these days.
Yep.
And I was still in sweats. I put like a cute top on and did my makeup and did my hair, but I was still in sweats.
That's awesome.
So if I had to physically go somewhere, it'd be a different scenario. Because if I go out in public, like, I actually put extra effort into it. And if you follow me on any sort of my social media, like, you know, like, I'm a diva when it comes to getting ready. So I would, you know, get dressed, actually put pants on. They may be leggings, but it would still be pants, and I'd make them look good. So because that's the type of person I am. So I was actually really happy to be single, knowing that I could look like a complete slob for 7 days. And nobody would know. Because even when I did go out, I went for a run a few days, and I was in workout gear. So that didn't really do anything. So I was happy to know I could be a complete slob, barely wash my hair, and not have to worry about somebody judging me for that.
Very funny you say that, because my why I'm single is also due to clothing. And it's funny you say that, because I was looking at my shoe collection yesterday. I have 5 pairs of Converse. That's all I have. I have 5 pairs of shoes. They're all high top Chuck Taylors. I have Two of those five are customized. One is Sonic the Hedgehog with blue laces, and the other one is light blue with Super Mario prints, like the Super Mario level. And it's like, you know, that's, it's not who I am, but I like to have fun with my shoes. I'm not some dweeb who's like, you know what? Put it this way. Have fun with your Ralph Lauren shoes. Have fun with your button-ups. I'll take Sonic out for a date to B-dubs. We'll eat fried pickles and drink iced tea, and you can go out to the bar and wear your button-down and your polo shoes, mm-hmm. and you can meet girls, and they can ruin your life. So that was kind of...
You don't like getting dressed up?
No, I hate it. It's the worst.
Not even...
No.
So what would you wear, like, on a first date?
If I went out for a first... I'm trying to think of what I wore for... Okay, when I went out for a first date... a few months ago, I wore a Miami Marlins black t-shirt and khakis.
What kind of a t-shirt?
It was like a two-button Miami Marlins t-shirt.
Oh, okay.
And it fits me really well. It's one of those things. It's you know, I'm not gonna go out on a first date and dress like trash. I'm gonna wear something up top that at least is presentable. I'm not gonna walk in with a freaking gym shirt that, you know, is hanging over my, makes me look like a homeless person pretty much. But if I go on a, right. if I go on a first date, I'll wear khakis, I'll wear my white Chuck Taylors, and I'll wear my Kansas City Royals throwback that is like a V-neck because it fits well.
But you work out in your Chuck Taylors.
I do, yeah. Damn right I do.
Okay, so.
I have one pair, I have two pairs of white. I have one for working out and then one clean white pair that I wear for,
okay.
for going out. So that's just, okay. it's who I am. I don't go to this. I can't tell you the last time I went shopping for
right.
like clothes shopping. I mean, I have a nice shirt, like a shirt and tie to wear, whatever, if I need to for stuff for work. I have one button down shirt that I've never worn that I bought from Buckle that would look nice if I went out. I have a bunch of tank tops just for summer in case like we go out to eat or something. But I don't have like the closet that says, I'm going to go out Friday and Saturday night and try to impress people. That's just, and I think it's.
See, I wish I was more like that, but I put my fashion, like, I've always wanted, if like sports didn't work out, I would totally try to do something in fashion. I love dressing up.
Well, I think it works out somewhat well for me because if I could find somebody who likes my style or accepts my style, then I know she's a keeper. I mean, it's almost a test more than anything. I mean, last weekend when I went out, I was wearing a Washington State Cougars t-shirt that I will, disclaimer, it fits me. It's probably my best fitting shirt, and I'm just a weird, my upper body's just a weird shape, and it's hard to find mm-hmm. clothes that fit me where it's long enough and tight enough then doesn't hang over me and that the sleeves are
right.
of proper size. So it's hard for me to find mm-hmm. clothes, but this one is perfect. And, you know, I ended up meeting an Asian girl named Lishuan. So if that doesn't prove that it's working, then I don't want to hear it. So there's don't take fashion advice from me. And Jess, you're probably the one for that. Right now I'm wearing a pizza hoodie, Sonic the Hedgehog Converse, and Washington Bullets throwback high socks, or mid socks.
I'm still in my pajamas. I'm still in my pajamas, though. So we're
whatever.
Even.
It with makes me up. Happy. You know what I am? I'm like the I'm like the 4-year-old kid whose parents they let them dress themselves. That's what I look
and
like.
And you ended up where I did that too. But isn't that true? Like, if you look at kids, there's always a picture of you or a kid that you see wearing cowboy boots because they go through the cowboy boot phase. I was obsessed with cowboy boots because it was the one time my parents let me dress myself.
I was never a cowboy boot kind of guy, but I mean to each their own, I guess. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I need a fashionista. I need somebody to help me out with that because I don't know what looks good. I don't know what
I got you.
It's just
I love taking guys shopping.
Yeah.
I love it.
Well, you live very far from me, but if you could just drop me some Amazon links or something, I don't know what I would look good in. I think I would look good in like a button down, but at the same time that just
right.
to me it just looks like you're trying too hard. But whatever. Maybe
yeah.
maybe
I mean I always try too hard. I hate when people are like, wow, are you like overdressed? I was like, you don't understand. This is who I am.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I just don't apologize for it anymore. I used to feel bad, but now I'm like, I like my heels. I like my tall boots. I like having my hair done. I do not apologize for it.
I guess for me, it's just more so a coping mechanism. Like, well, maybe I'm just comfortable, you know, wearing what I want to wear. But at the same time, it's just because, like, I don't know. I just, that's just not my style. Everybody has their styles, I guess. I mean, there's nothing really wrong with it, but anybody that can fall in love with me wearing an Oakland A's Ricky Henderson throwback jersey and khakis, we're set up for life, sweetheart. So,
right.
Future wife, if you're listening, we'll be all right. We'll be okay.
Yeah.
We're eating steak.
We'll be all right.
We're eating steak for dinner, and we're watching Grey's Anatomy. I'll watch whatever Grey's Anatomy you want to watch. So. Sweet, right?
Perfect. You're so perfect.
I was going to say, I think every episode ends with you saying, "How are you single? You are so sweet." And I'm just like, I know.
Well, you put that in the script and told me to say that.
Yeah. Just paying you under the table, getting some free advertising. I know you have a lot of female friends. I'd be wrong for not taking advantage of that, but that's going to wrap up episode 3. Jess, final words. We went through a lot. You were in a very weird stage of your life. You just got a book published. Anything that you want to say?
A weird stage.
It is a weird stage. You know, it's March.
A weird stage of my life. It has nothing to do with my book being published.
Whatever.
But yes, it's definitely a weird stage of life. No, this is probably my favorite episode of ours so far. Honest, I really liked it.
Good. I liked your candy bars. I thought I'll maybe
watch your mouth, Alex. Watch your mouth,
Mom.
I liked your candy bars.
I liked your candy bars.
What a line. What a line.
Whatever. If you don't like it, then you don't like it. One Tree Hill, candy bars, scouting reports. That's what we do here at Moonshots. We don't do hot takes because hot takes are bad.
They
will ruin your life. So if you want to melt down our podcast and inject it into your veins, I think you could subscribe now. I'm not totally sure. You can if you want. I don't know where the link is. You can find it though. But that's gonna wrap up episode 3. We will be back next week, and we're just gonna bring the straight heat again. So for Jess Kleinschmidt, Alex Cloget, FanRag Sports.